celebration, beginning
Love Talk Radio.
Inside the most magical place on Earth, we'll be celebrating the anniversary. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
This is Bill Rose Minahan, host of Talk Cosmos. Everyone is part of the sky, and every Sunday at 1 p.m., we discuss the meaningfulness of our rippling stars with leading-edge astrology conversations guiding a journey into full growth patterns, connecting astrology's energetic cycle. So hop on board by tuning in every Sunday at 1 p.m. on 1150 a.m. KPNW for Talk Cosmos and journey with us through the cosmic roots of the stars.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see pretty much clouds and heavy rain on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 61, 62 degrees. For tonight, clouds and rain will start to taper off. Low temperatures down to about 51. For Friday and for Saturday, decreasing clouds and more sunshine. High temperatures still in the low 60s. Partly cloudy skies through the overnight. Lows in the upper 40s to low 50s. A chance of rain returning for Sunday. Highs around 62.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune in and turn us on. Wow. I want to say a couple of things about the energy. Jennifer Marcinelli and I were having a chat, and we were talking about energy. And I said to Linda, I said, look, let's really look at what we can do, not just to raise vibration, be inspiring, stay positive. In the famous line from Silver Lining Notebook, I guess it was called, Excelsior, all right. What can we do to be of more service? And that's really part of a big question for us here at the network. And the reason I wanted to, you know, really drive this home is because I know people out there, David Essel joining me here today is one of them, can't wait to have this chat. But there have been points in time over my career as doing this where I watched military people that are in the front line. I did a special series show in New York City after 9/11. We went into a very special treatment center, you know, visited Ground Zero, the whole thing. I mean, there's been so much of that. The question mark for me, and in talking to Linda, is we have to bring some people on that are so well known in their field and ask them to bring a conversation to the table about what innovation, what are you creating to help people today? 22 months ago, 24 months ago, but today. David Essel is that person. Here's what I can count on. Every time I bring David on, here's what I can count on. I can count on David being on the pulse of what people are sensing or feeling and then being like light years ahead to provide them with a solution. I can always count on it. But I can also count on every show he and I do together, we rarely know exactly what we're going to say. David Essel, this is the person, master life coach, featured in Psychology Today and Marriage. He's a counselor. He has gone through the ups, the downs, the insides and outs of his profession and has come to the forefront as somebody that is beyond motivational and inspirational. Because I got to tell everybody right now, for me, this is a really interesting time for me. And I look at David and I say to myself, I have worked with some of the most incredible people. And they have helped me to become a better person. And I am a work in progress. David, it's great to have you here.
Oh, geez, Dr. Pat, you know, you're moving me. Holy cow. That is beautiful. Thank you. It's I feel very humbled right now. You know, I wasn't expecting that type of introduction, Dr. Pat. We've known each other a long time, and, you know, we both have overcome massive challenges. Yeah. Your upbringing is a massive challenge that you've come through, and you've broken through to the other side, and you've been such a motivating and an inspirational resource for people. You mentioned about you going to 9/11 and everything else, and, you know, I feel that we are kindred spirits, that we've been together for a very long time. Our mindsets are so similar. And when you're talking about people making a difference, I think we're in alignment with each other. You know, you're doing it on your end, I'm doing it on my end. And, you know, we happen to meet to share these incredible stories. The one thing I so appreciate you saying is that, you know, we are really filled with action. You know, there's a lot of people that have great ideas, Pat, and I encourage everyone with great ideas. And, you know, when I have the time, I'm going to do this for this group. And when I retire, I'm going to do this for that group. But you and I are quite the opposite. I hope I'm not over-speaking for you, but I both believe that when we intuitively feel a pathway is the right one to go, we do not wait until we're ready. We don't wait to be ready, Pat. You and I act, and we are already ready at a deeper level than we may consciously ever know. But, you know, you and I don't sit around talking about great ideas. We bring them up, and then we act upon them, which is, I think, one of the reasons why we love each other so much. And we you know, rarely – I mean, this is what I love, too. I do not ever like pre-interviews. I refuse to do pre-interviews. If someone says, hey, I just need you for 10 minutes to do a pre-interview, I say, I can't. If they send me 20 questions and say, here's the questions I'm going to ask you, write your answers so I know what you're going to say, I will not. And Dr. Pat and I for years have had dynamic shows on her show because we trust our intuition. We do what we say we're going to do. We're filled with integrity. We're not perfect, but we do say what we're going to do. And here we are together teaming up again to do exactly that.
You know, what I love about this is that, and I've talked about this recently for myself, and David, thank you so much. You know, one of the things I love, when people meet me in person, and I got a fantastic email from Susie yesterday who was listening to the show I did. I had a guest not able to show up, power outage, talking about autism, talking about the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so I did the show from his book, and I talked about this. It is something very near and dear to me based on who I am personally. There are those of us that have quirkiness. We have quirkinesses. Is that a quirkinesses? Nesses? I don't know. I don't even know if that sounds like Loch Ness Monster right there. But here's the thing I know. I get asked this question all the time. I get asked, and David, let's start here, because we're going to talk about what does it mean to help people heal, veterans heal, first responders heal. And here's the thing I'm noticing about myself, and I wonder if you're the same. When people see me on air, I get behind a mic, and some essence takes over. And they often say to me, like, dude, I met you in person. I mean, you really are kind of like that, but you're just, like, really quite serious. And you're kind of like, you don't talk. And I said, just let me give you a clue. I'm really an introvert. But there's an interesting part of this today that I want to talk with you about, because you're not here just to, you know, for you and I to have a conversation. When people get on a mission, when people are passionate about what they do, they get to experience many different sides of themselves. And I think you and I, over time, you know, we've had to look at who we really are and who we want to become. And what does it mean, you know, to be that person? And, you know, I'll tell you, Benny will know this. You know, if you ever work with me, I can be seriously intense. I can be very direct, right? I can be very clear and then also at the same time very unclear. But in the end, I can't get away from being of service tell me about that part of you where you just are relentless about being of service and what tapped your heart to want to really take on healing.
Pat, what a beautiful question. Wow. You know, I will tell you, and I may have a hard time getting through this today, but, you know, my mom passed 8 months ago, and she was my world, without a doubt, especially the last 40 years. You know, I was a very difficult child for her, but after I came to some sense of maturity, the last 40-plus years were just amazing. More than that, probably 50-plus years were just amazing. She died at 92, and she is the one that taught me service. She's the one that taught me compassion that I'm still working on. She's the one that has taught me patience that I have never worked on, Pat. but, you know, she's really the driving force with my desire to serve because of her desire to serve. And I saw it. I was very blessed. You know, Pat, one of the things that I always have to say this, not everyone is raised in an environment that is healthy, and you know that. Not everyone is raised in an environment that is safe. Not everyone is raised in an environment that is nurturing. I was raised in a pretty darn safe environment with my mom. And in that safety, it doesn't mean that there weren't difficult times. As I just said, the first 20 years of my life with my mom were not easy for me at all. But there was an understanding that she was here to teach me something much greater than anyone else I've ever met, and it is to be of service. Now, I can't get away from this path. This isn't something I can shut down, and nor do I want to. And, you know, when we look at veterans and first responders, and I'll tell you a story about truckers that we just created as well. Coming out of COVID, one of the biggest challenges that I had was, where is my next move in my professional career of service? How is it that I can reach more people? How is it that I can touch more bodies? How is it that I can? And then, Pat, that went to, and who needs service the most? What sub areas of our existence need that support? You know, so I was driven on a Friday night, sitting in the back with my partner, like going, I need to be of greater service to specific groups, and immediately, you know, the concept of the veterans came to my mind, and as her and I talked, because I have been serving veterans in active military for 42 years. But, Pat, here's the thing. When we think about the number of veterans in active military that can truly afford counseling prices, which are quite high depending on the income bracket you're in, they can't. You know, it's just impossible. So immediately the thought went to, oh, my gosh, here are people that have told me they feel forgotten by their own country, who have told me that they were promised things by our country that are not being delivered. Now, I'm not coming down on the United States of America. I'm coming down and sharing with you what my clients, who are veterans and active military, had told me. I'm not active military. I'm not a veteran. I happen to have a massive heart for people who are suffering and who people who are marginalized, you know, and we hear it all the time that if I say I'm struggling with depression while I'm active military, the chances of advancement are slimmer, you know, and so they hide their emotions and they don't openly talk. And when I hear these stories for 42 years over and over again, it finally reached a crescendo and we said, wait a minute. Let's take these active military, let's take these veterans, let's take these families, bring them into a program that's so freaking inexpensive where we can give them our books at no cost. We can give them online video teaching courses at no cost. We can give them a mastermind call every week where they can anonymously, and this is crucial, anonymously, confidentially ask questions and never be exposed to whether it's other veterans or other active military or commanding officers or whatever. So, you know, when this came up, and I can't stop thinking about it, talking about it, Pat, you know, when this came up and then we started getting feedback, you know, there's an organization, Tears of the 22.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until I got engaged in our program that we created, Pat. 22 veterans commit suicide every day in the United States of America. That's 8,000 veterans a year. Yeah. When you hear the real numbers, you know, and let me tell you a story that happened. I have an active military client. Of course, I cannot share any information, who was based in another country. And now he's back in the United States at a base until he's going to be sent out again. But when he was in the other country, and this is 3 months ago, one of his brothers came up to him and was struggling emotionally and was saying, you know, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can stay through this tour. I'm really having a hard time. I need someone to talk to, but I can't go to my CO because I'm afraid they'll write it up. So my client said, you stay there. He went to his CO and said, listen, so-and-so is struggling. He just needs someone to talk to. Could we get him someone without putting it in his records? And the CO, according to the story, immediately put in this kid's records that he was struggling with depression, mm-hmm. which is limiting his opportunity for advancement. Okay. When we hear this stuff, it literally makes me shake.
It's systemic, David.
It is.
It's
totally.
Systemic. Oh, yeah. It's totally.
And it is. And when we hear this, and I say BS to this, you know, I may not be able to, with our group, serve 100 million veterans in the United States or 100 million active military, but we can start giving people a chance to vent, to express, and give them tools. Because, you know, Pat, you know, I had a suicidal attempt in 1990. I was outrageously depressed for 30 years. I was an alcoholic and addict. You know, all those, and it was depression.
I do know. I do know what you're talking about.
And, you know, Pat, and it was all that stuff that as a man who was successful in society should not be feeling depressed, anxious, addicted. So we hide it. We submerge it. And so then as I come out of that area of my life, it's all about service. And now we start looking for who are the subsections of society that need service that aren't getting it. And that's how we started helpveteransheal.org.
You know, two things, David. One, what you described since the onset of this show, when, Benny, for those people in the greater Seattle area, hear the name Congressman Jim McDermott. No, he's no longer the congressman here. But when you hear his name, did a great show with him and the head of the VA at one point. And back in the day, so you and I need to get our heads together. We need to get our hearts together. I don't know what it's been. I'm going to just get just a little choked up here. You know, I change quite often. I don't change who I am. I don't change my general heart-centered place, but I change a bit. And I've changed the mission of the network. I've changed our software development to do something really incredible. I get to work with people like you, and then I hear what you're doing. But when we're talking about frontline people, first responders, when we're talking about our veterans. So I'm a little bit older than you maybe, and I never got over the results of Vietnam.
No, I knew you were going to say that.
I never got over. Now, I wasn't really an older person, but I got to tell you, I got hit. My involvement with Vietnam, I got hit in high school with my first incident with one of our classmates being dragged dead. And he was dead in 3 months. I was a young kid, and I never knew what was inside of me. I didn't, you know, I knew there was stuff inside of us. And I think, David, when you describe what you just described, and I watched those folks come home, the ones that did come home. And I'm not saying that the war in Afghan or Iran, and I could get into a whole nother conversation on Afghanistan, but I won't. But let's just say war. Let's just say, I grew up in New York. I know what it's like to walk down an alley in New York and have somebody walk up behind you and hold a knife to your neck. I know what that's like. That stays with you. What is it like for military who feel like that is every minute of every day of their lives? Now, let's talk about first responders, because I've been contemplating how to help. I have a doctor that's one of the hosts of the show. We have to follow Einstein. You cannot solve the problem at the freaking level it was created.
Amen.
We can't go traditional to help people. You know and I know, the minute in the military, or by the way, in the medical, let's just like, I don't want to put them together, David, but come on, you got to help me here.
Yeah.
Don't want to put them together. The minute you show a sign of something, like, I'm a little down today, all the bells and whistles, kind of like Benny. When there's silence on air, Benny's got this light that flashes like a crazy thing in there, right?
Yeah.
The lights are flashing, and nobody's looking. We got lights going off. We got first responders. We got doctors. We got nurses that are moving out of their field.
Yeah.
You know, we've got people that are securing the sanity and the cleanliness of hospitals that are not, that are panicked. We can't solve this at the same problem. We can't solve it at the institutionalized level of psychology and psychiatry that we're at. We have got to try to find something different. Let me ask you about this. You know what's different? You know what's innovative and different?
What's that?
Carl Jung telling Bill Wilson, you can't solve alcoholism at the level you're solving it, dude. I can't help Rollin H. He's got to have a spiritual experience. Here's what a spiritual experience is. And Bill Wilson says, okay. See, so how do we do this? How are you doing it? How do we get more people involved?
Well, it's great question, Pat. And here's something that I think is really crucial. I believe, and people may disagree with me, I believe because I am non-military, non-vet, non-first responder, that I can help more people. Because I don't know limitation in their healing. Now, you go to a first responder, talking to first responders,
right.
And they say, well, we understand, you know, that this is part of being a doctor, a nurse, a caregiver, a healthcare aide. And so they have a limitation that I or you may not have. I have no limitations on how to help these people heal. We have thousands of tools. The most important thing is, number one, I want to give them hope that there's a program out there that might be able to help them. That is to give them hope. Number two, I will guarantee you, Pat, we're going to come to the table with different tools than people in their own profession would use. Same thing with vets, military, first responders, truckers. I'm starting a new program for truckers, for gosh sake, Pat. We're way ahead of the freaking game, baby. We are doing this because
we're a trucker family. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know my dad was like trucker dude, owned his own trucker company. At age 4, I was sitting behind an 18-wheeler with my dad.
That is awesome.
I learned how to change spark plugs at 9. Tell me what you're seeing in the trucking industry, because I just got my attention right there, because you're right about this. I just need to.
It's massive. It's massive. The health issues, our physical health, overweight, off the charts. You know, it's massive. How many truckers struggle with weight? High blood pressure, massive cholesterol, massive. It's a sedentary position for most of them most of their time. Finding time to exercise is very difficult. They have family issues of being separated. When you're separated from your family for 1, 2, 3 weeks and there's issues when you leave home, it's going to be very difficult for those issues to be solved. Possibly you can over the phone and text and all that kind of stuff, but it's still hard, you know. And then you have the brutality, Pat, of the trucking industry. And I know I'm going to ruffle feathers here, but listen, New York Times last year had the most profound series of articles of how trucking companies in California are ripping the hell out of all these drivers. They sign them into these contracts where the driver's paying for the truck and the driver's paying for this, and at some point they're going to pay it off. Hardly any of them ever pay it off. And then the trucking company, if you get close to paying it off, will strip the truck from you and find some reason to fire you. So you go away with all this investment in the truck, but you never get the truck.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The hours they work, the amount of insomnia, sleep issues, anxiety, depression, addiction, Pat. It's crazy. So I get all these statistics. This is after we started Help Veterans Heal after we started helping first responders heal. Here comes a program from out of the blue. And I'll tell you how it happened, Pat. I was on the Truckers Network radio show. I was on one time. At the end of it, the owner of the network calls my publicist, TJ, the next day and says, hey, is there any way I can get a hold of David? We started talking, and he said, we need mental health help. Our industry is so in trouble. So are first responders, so are active military, so are veterans. And we can see a trend here. And listen to this, Pat. I'm going to jump from truckers to the vets.
Call you. Go right ahead.
Wounded Warriors, one of the most profound organizations for veterans, one of the most solid, one of the ones that doesn't put 90% of the money into advertising and staffing and all that kind of stuff, right? Michael Linnington, the president, about 3 or 4 weeks ago came out in an article and said, the number one need for veterans today is mental health care. The only thing we can't give them is mental health care. We're all about physical health care. And he was making that as a blanket statement, meaning we as America are falling short in giving our veterans and active military the correct mental care needed. You know, and this is after we created HelpVeteransHeal.org. Wow. So what's happened, Pat, is that we start working with the veterans, and we are blown away with these numbers. I mean, I'm shocked of how little I knew that these people suffer, how these people feel. Every one of them we talked about, Pat, has said, we believe our country has forgotten us. Like, can you imagine going into the thick of war, giving your 2 years or 30 years or whatever it is, and coming home and expecting, or at least a thank you? Or, you know, we have a mom that called me the other day. Her son has been in the military 8 years. They told him that when he left at 8 years, I have no idea what kind of a program he was in, they would help him find a job. He's struggling with addiction, anxiety, depression, because no one has helped him find career. And she said, David, he was promised that he would not be forgotten, that when he come home, they would put him through training. They would help him find a job. Now, in this one case, and I can't say it's all people coming out of the military, Pat, but in this one case, it was so profound. The mom was on her knees begging for help because her son was now in that vortex of addiction and depression. And once again, it comes back to, are we really going to let this happen? Mm-hmm. Are we really going to continue to look at 22 suicides by our veterans a day as acceptable? Are we going to look at these people coming out of the military without any plans and goals and being left by the side of the road to find their own way? Are we going to allow the first responders putting in 12 hours a day, 6, 7 days a week, exposing themselves mentally, emotionally, physically to who knows the stress of all their clients, the potential contraction of COVID or some other condition, right? Like, I believe that it's people outside of the industry, you and I, that don't have limiting mindsets on how we can help them that can help them the most, Pat. Maybe I'm naive, but I really believe this is true.
Well, I don't think you're naive. I want to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to really pick up on this because, no, first of all, I don't think you're naive, and secondarily, we are way more objective in looking at it and more personalized because we see a person.
Right.
We don't see an ex-military. We don't see a nurse, right? Because we don't have a framework. We see a person in pain.
That's right.
Person in pain. But, you know, see, this is the thing I love about talking with you, and I love the action you're taking. You're preaching to the choir about the trucking industry.
I love that, Pat.
My dad was never home. I don't even know how people, I learned so much about the trucking industry, and it's changed. When we come back, what does this level of assistance look like? You know, it's really interesting, David. And I just want to leave with this and talk about it when we come back. I've done a number of interviews with you. I've known you close to my 18, 20 years doing this. Both of us have changed in a way. Once upon a time, we would be, the reason I got the nickname Pollyanna Patty back in the day. Now, my nickname is Power Up Patty. But the point is, something shifts in an individual when they take inspiration plus perspiration. Something changes. And inspiration plus perspiration is genius action. Those two things. When we come back, we're going to talk about the what now. What is David Essel doing? What are these organizations about? How can we help spread the word? Because the old model of an hour on the couch, therapy, sometimes people need 5 minutes of your time in a moment of crisis. Maybe 10. Maybe not a Zoom call. Maybe a text message. Maybe. Let's take a short break. Benny, Jamie, we'll be right back.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path for the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognudo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOgnedo.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the Conscious Parenting Community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Papasili, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting the traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
Just say this. Thank you all for tuning in to the Dr. Pat Show. It's so great to have all of you tuning in, turning us on. You know, whenever I start to waver a little bit and start to second guess myself, but also whenever I start to compromise on my own standards, And what I mean by that is, you know, myself and clearly Jessica and Linda, you know, we've spent a good part of, I don't know, 10, 12 years, you know, finding out what people wanted and then raising the bar on how to deliver it. And whenever I get into a position where I'm willing to compromise standards, it really comes back. And that's in my personal life, too. And sometimes you've got to have tough conversations with people in order to invite them to rise up. And David, the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is a tough conversation. And I have to tell you, I've really thought about my mentors. I've thought about people that have literally helped me save my life. And I got to tell you, I've never gained any iota of forward movement from anyone that wasn't direct, that wasn't willing to tell me how I can improve, that wasn't willing to give me an opportunity to step up. And boy, was I furious at most of them, most of my life.
Yes.
But this puts us into an interesting boat, because you said it before. Some people will get mad at me for saying. Some people will get mad at us for saying. Some people will get mad at us for holding them to a higher standard than maybe we even hold ourselves. But I want to ask you this. One, tell us about what you've created. Two, let people know how they can get involved. And then let's start to answer some of the questions you asked, because Einstein really did have it right. Cannot solve things at the level they were created. So tell us about the forward movement now that you're building.
And Pat, I want to mention one other story that happened to me in life that really has spurred me on to do what I'm doing. I guess I'm going to tell you two quick stories. Number one, Neil Donald Walsh, a number of years ago, made this incredible comment that I'll never forget. And he said, when you have passion to create something, don't wait to be ready.
Yeah.
And I love that, Pat. Yeah. You know, he said, when you are inspired, you have passion, do it now. Don't wait for the degree. Don't wait for the training. Don't wait to go through the next book. Don't wait through. Now, of course, if you're going to be a brain surgeon, that's a different story, right? But, you know, he was saying that there's so many of us that have great intentions and great ideas, but we don't act on them. He said, don't wait till you're ready. And to me, I take that as, Don't wait because you're not a vet, David. Don't wait because you're not active military, David. Don't wait because you're not a trucker, David. Don't wait because you're not a first responder, David. Freaking A, do something to help these people right now, okay? So what we've done is we've created three different programs, and they're all on a similar mindset, but they're geared towards each different organization. So with helpveteransheal.org, if you go to helpveteransheal.org, you'll see this beautiful write-up. You'll see statistics about why we're doing this work and basically what veterans are going to get. And it's like $4.98 a week. We are keeping it so affordable because it's not about the money. It's about getting people to realize that there are solutions for the problems we're facing today. But as you said, quoting Einstein, if you're in the military, a lot of times the answer is pull up your bootstraps.
Yeah.
That's it. Deal with it. That's it. Okay, that's dealing with it at the level it's created. That's exactly what you're saying. You know, when you have people that are hurting and they're being told, just be a man, just be a woman, just be a whatever, you're actually deepening the divide and deepening the disease and deepening the depression and deepening the loss of hope. So what we say with our veterans is this: when you join our organization, once a week, you're going to have an anonymous mastermind call. You're going to be on the call with me and a business partner, Dennis Postma. You're going to be able to text us and email us questions, because we don't want your voice on the call. We don't want your picture on Zoom. We want you feeling so safe and secure that you can ask the most bizarre, the deepest, the craziest question in the world, and you'll be handled with love. The second thing they get is when they sign up, they get one of our books absolutely free in a PDF format. And then every month, they either get another book at no cost other than the $4.98 a week, and they get an online video course, addiction recovery, attitude challenges, saving relationships. So we're giving them tools that they can use in between the mastermind calls. Pat, veteransheal.org is for veterans, active military, and or their families. We're doing almost the same model for first responders and for truckers. The difference is when we're talking with vets and active military about depression, anxiety, insomnia, we will be talking in their terms. We will have other veterans on with us talking as well. We'll have active military talking as well. But we're going to get into their terminology. You know, on I interviewed a guy who's one of the founders of Tears of the 22. And if you go to Facebook, you can find their page, Tears of the 22. Matt Gillespie, and I actually interviewed Rich Chelson, his other partner. But when I was interviewing Matt, and he was the one saying, you know, that we really literally have been forgotten. Rich went when Rich got out of the service, he went to apply for a job, and he was doing the application, and the guy called him on the phone, and Rich said, hey, he goes, I don't know if I could, but I'm also a veteran of the United States of America. And there was a pause, and then the guy said, I could give a crap about that. You know, when we have these things happening, and they're happening every day, these are isolated.
Oh, no, not isolated at all. Nope, they're not.
So our helpveteransheal.org is, we're getting into the headspace of the veterans, their family members, active military, and members. You know, my client that just came back from the other country who is still active military, you know, I could almost start becoming emotional over this, is that when he found out we were doing this, he was one of the first ones reaching out to me saying, oh, my God, I'm active military, and I need this, David. You know, so we see that. With first responders, it's going to be a very similar program, helping firstrespondersheal.org. There'll be a weekly mastermind call talking about emotional burnout on the job, talking about saving relationships because you're gone so much and you're not able to be together. Then we're also going to talk about those first responders that are working from home. Believe it or not, first responders can work from home too. Many of them doing their work via the internet, and they're way too much time with their families. They feel isolated from society. They're all over each other's nerves. You know, then in all these groups, we're talking about the uptick in addiction, 1,000% increase in alcohol sales online in 12 months.
That's correct.
I'm sorry?
That is absolutely correct. And wait, climbing. It's not even like everybody's gone back to work. We're all normal now. That number is not going down, David.
Yeah. It does. And everything that we're talking about, we don't look at this pandemic and all of the stuff going on as going away. Okay, that's the mindset that I take. It's not going away. How do we live life? How do we maximize our potential if this never goes away? I want that mindset now, because if we have that, I'm not saying being like, you know, careless, and I'm saying, you know, use common sense, but let's try to figure out how we can maximize our potential. So you said earlier, Pat, you know, how can we help? How can we help the veterans and the truckers and active military and first responders? Well, first of all, we have to get involved. We like, so for all of our listeners, you know, if you say, well, do I know any active first responders? As a matter of fact, I know a fireman and a nurse. Well, give them a call and let them know. And we're not the only program out there, gang, okay? We happen to be what we feel is a really grounded, solid program. But if you want to refer them to another program, do something is what I'm saying, right? Like, if you have active military people in your neighborhood or veterans in your neighborhood, do something by letting them know that there's programs like this involved. The other thing, Pat, that's so cool. So we're involved with Wreaths Across America, which is a veterans organization. We're involved with Tears of the 22, a veterans organization. We're involved with another vets organization called One Day at a Time, Suicide Prevention. Suicide is huge in the military community. We're involved with the RWB, the Red, White, and Blue, and they're an active organization that gets people to do runs to raise money for our veterans, and you know, and all these. So we're and Wounded Warriors, you know, we're getting all these organizations and saying, how can we help? How can our new organization take over for some of the stuff that may not be your expertise? Because our expertise is lifestyle, relationship, stress, depression, anxiety, insomnia, addiction. That's us. We're all about this stuff here, you know? And so if we can add our expertise and our books and our online programs and include it in the courses, so these people don't have to go out and spend any other money, we feel we're going to make a huge difference, Pat, with each of these different groups that are subsections of our society that in many times are forgotten, are not healed. And, you know, and the first responders we've talked to, Pat, have said the same thing. if they go to their supervisor or their HR department and they say, hey, I need a couple days off, I'm feeling depressed or whatever, immediately it's recorded. So what we say with these three programs is, listen, we've been doing this for 42 years. Please look at our track record. We have a very strong track record. We are 110% confidential. There will be no one in the world that could pry out of me anything about anyone who's in these groups, and we're going to keep it that way, Pat.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what I love about this. Two things I want to say. One, I need to call you later. There are two individuals and an organization I want to put you involved with. One of them is fairly new. It's a fairly new product. And you're actually doing what is so needed to be done. First of all, we need to get the folks together that have solutions and get the pricing right so that we can make this affordable to people. Number two, there are people that have dedicated a life to eradicating burnout and exhaustion. Jennifer J. Marcinelli is one of them. Need to get you in touch with her.
Perfect.
But this is how we do it. And the other thing I want to ask you about is, you know, there's a saying, and it's a really oddball saying, and it's just a little odd. You know, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. Okay, great. That's if you're, like, kind of normal and, like, all of that, and, you know, like, you don't have post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and it's really true. You know, if there are people that are uninspired, that are okay with being mediocre or performing mediocre. I was like that at one point in my life, not very long.
And I can't even imagine that.
No, it's true. Listen, when I was young, I got placed in I can't mention the company name, but it's a cigarette company pulling out bad cigarettes from a conveyor belt. Yeah. Uninspiring, but I did it. The other job they gave me, it was on it for 2 weeks, is filing books in a library. Not very good fit. But here's the thing I want to say. Those old sayings, it's just not really for the time we live in. You know, if there's one criticism that my best friend and people that are close to me make of me, and it really does come from my family history, and it comes from the work I do with women, women that are struggling with addiction or alcoholism, and I have three of them now that are ex-vets, that are vets, is that I will trust you impeccably. I will give you more chances than you can imagine until one day I realize there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to help you. You have to help yourself. But what you're doing is you're putting a possibility in front of people. See, you're giving them a choice they haven't had before. That requires a massive, if I might say, marketing campaign. Why do I use the term marketing? Because you can't solve a problem at the level it was created. You have to really hit it big. I'm just going to say this statement. I want to know where you fall on it. I went, a side of me came out, and it comes out from time to time. You know, I tend to really believe so powerfully in people, and when folks don't live up to a potential that I see, I've learned that my potential for you is irrelevant. But the other day, I saw a post on the internet about the returning soldiers from Afghanistan and about Afghanistan and the politicizing of this. And I went after all of them and I said, why aren't any of you, in any political forum, talking about what you're going to do to help these people be home when they come home? Some of them been over there for God knows how long, since they were little babies.
Yeah.
What do you do? Why aren't we having that conversation? Because here's what's going to happen. We have politicized this so much. And I got to tell you, don't ask me where I fall on whether we should be there or not. That is not this conversation. But we have politicized this so much, as we have done every military intervention we've ever been in. And we do it so we don't have to take care of our vets. And I'm just totally done with that.
Yeah. Pat, one of the greatest concerns I have in most people who are logical, grounded, and conscious with social media is that it has the potential to be the most incredible force of healing on this earth. And it is lacking 110% in following through with that passion, with that potential. It's not there. And the reason why is because we have 6 billion or however many people are on Facebook and social media, armchair quarterbacks, Monday morning quarterbacks. They all have an opinion and they don't have a damn lick of skin in the game. There's no skin in the game. 90% of America has no skin in the game of helping veterans, active military, first responders, or truckers, or any other subsection of society. We can talk about the slums. We could talk about the homeless. We could talk about the addicted. I mean, there's thousands of subgroups, subcategories of Americans that are not being served.
Yeah.
So what we want to do.
That's another show you're going to have to come back and do with me.
I would love that.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back and talk to me about that one because I grew up in the projects, and I got to tell you, there are segments of our society that we have so made so invisible that we're not even talking about this kind of conversation for them. So I hope you come back for that.
In a heartbeat, Pat. You know, the interesting thing is someone said to me the other day, you know, you've become quite the activist in life, haven't you? And Pat, here's the funniest thing in the world is that I don't feel I've become an activist. I feel I've just been this way my whole existence. And but now that we're putting programs together, you know, that are looking at certain subsections of our society, now, you know, I've been a freaking activist my whole life, for God's sake, you know. But now I'm doing it in a realm, and I love the fact you said we're not going political. I am not going political at all. You know, you call me and you talk to me about the vets or active military or first responders or truckers, and you bring up politics, I'm gone. I'm here about serving. I'm here about giving hope, about lifting spirits, giving tools that these men and women probably don't freaking have. They've never been taught emotional regulation. They've never been taught that need, the incredible deep need that the human spirit has to feel desired, to feel cared for, to feel loved for. Like I want, and I know we're going to do this, Pat, I want all of these groups, when they come in, I want them to feel our love, that they matter, you know, that they're not forgotten. And I don't care if it's first responders, truckers, vets, you know. There's so much suffering. There's so much mental health suffering. There's so much hopelessness and loss. And so we're coming in with a ton of freaking energy. We're not going political. We're going human race, baby. It's all about the human race. It ain't about politics. And, you know, Pat, I am by far as I know, probably one of the most apolitical person who has ever walked this earth. I am here to do what politics will never do. I am here to create with you, with everyone else that I can collaborate with, responsibility for us to do things that our government doesn't know how to do, can't do, won't do, whatever the words are. I don't even care. I want to be that individual just like you and the millions of other people out there who are activists in our own right, not waiting to be shown or told or given what to do, just going. Because in the going, we will learn and we will heal, and we just have to go.
Yeah. I know you're also doing something where we can sponsor a vet.
Yeah.
I believe you're doing that, or we can sponsor a first responder. I love this, and I love the word sponsor, and I know we only have a few minutes left, and I would be remiss if you didn't talk to us about that invitation you have, David.
Pat, thank you so much. You know, we are offering single individuals, if you want to go in and sponsor a vet for a year at $19.95 a month, you know, please do it. If you're someone that is with a company, let's say maybe you own a company and you say, I want to sponsor 100 vets a year. Well, we can accommodate that, and we can with you on pricing and everything else. You know,
perfect.
We are so flexible right now, Pat.
Perfect.
I mean, incredibly flexible. So if anyone's interested, reach out to me at talkdavid.com if you're looking at sponsoring veterans or first responders. Go right to talkdavid.com. Send me an email. Say, hey, David, I'm interested in sponsorship. I will personally call you. If you give me your phone number, I will call you and we will talk. and I will make sure you feel loved for what you're doing. I'm not just going to send you to an automated box.
Perfect.
If you want to sponsor some of our precious people, you and I will talk.
I love it. And the reason I had to bring it up is because sponsorship is so important. You know, there are people that hear us talk about things like this, and in 9/10 out of 10, any kind of involvement is far out of anybody's reach. But because of the way you set this up, everyone can make a difference. Everyone. And if you think about the math for a minute, and you start to play out the math just for a minute, and you say 100 people, $20 a month. Oh, I can do that, man. Oh, wait, 1,000 people, $20. Oh, wait, 1,000. How about 10,000 people? How about the state of California people?
Right.
See, you have made this available, accessible, and it goes beyond what we're needing. I hope you'll come back, because the next time you come back, I want to talk about in the life of these folks, a day in the life, you're coming back from Afghanistan and you can't find a job and you're not sure how to plan your day. And no, you're not always going to be able to talk to your mom or your dad or your spouse or your children, because you've just come back from a scenario that nobody but you understands.
That's right, Pat.
David, personal message, what do you want to leave us with today? And please give out the websites.
Yeah, you know, be active. You can make a difference. You can sponsor someone that maybe can't afford to sponsor themselves. If you're a better active military, if you're a first responder or a trucker, with all these programs we have going on, it will always be 100% confidential. I want you to be able to trust us that we are here in your corner. There will not be a word leaked. Your name will never be used. You will be safe. And for all of our sponsors, all those people that are sitting there going, I want to make a difference in one vet's life, or 1,000 vets' life, please reach out to me at talkdavid.com. I want to talk to our sponsors. I want to let you know that there's a human being here that's part of this program that's willing to give my time to thank you for helping those people that are in such great need. And the last thing I want to say, Pat, is we can never imagine the need these people have until you speak to them.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Hey, good Thursday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Round SL over on State Route 542 eastbound at Everson Goshen Road. The mile post number 5, a recent collision partially blocking the lane. Good thing no medical aid fire system state patrol have all arrived on the scene and they are taking care of that collision. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the Spark Method, the new psychology of success with Dr. Diane Hayden. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The fate of the bipartisan infrastructure bill remains uncertain in the House. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy told reporters he doesn't view the $1.2 trillion measure as a real infrastructure bill. House progressives are also threatening to oppose it without a corresponding vote on a much bigger social spending package. One of the Democrats' key to passing President Biden's agenda appears to be in no hurry to do so. Today, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia was asked about Biden's $3.5 trillion social spending plan. He said his top-line number is $1.5 trillion. And made it clear he will only support the bipartisan infrastructure bill the Senate has already passed. Polk County, Florida Sheriff Grady Judd is weighing in on the Gabby Petito case and the ongoing search for her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. While Judd is making it clear that his agency is not involved in the investigation, he's also quick to say that he would have handled things a bit differently than police in Utah or Sarasota County.
When she was a victim of domestic violence originally, he would have been arrested. I can tell you at this sheriff's office, when he showed up with her car and she was no place to be found, we would never have let him out of our custody.
American consumers are getting a jump on the most wonderful time of the year. A report from global retail bank Klarna says 40% are shopping for the holidays earlier than last year. That's based on both surveys of U.S. shoppers and shopping data from 20 million of Klarna's consumers across the country. A Halloween hero is stepping in to save this year's in-person Greenwich Village Halloween parade. Lisa G reports.
Last year, the annual parade was canceled due to the pandemic, and this year organizers came up short financially to put it on again. That's when financial advisor Jason Feldman stepped in and wrote a check for $150,000. He said that he feels privileged to help out and says it was a heartfelt, easy thing to do. The theme for the parade, now in its 48th year, is Let's Play.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, DonyCo Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, DonyCo Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team DonyCo and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. DonyCo Pet Clinic. Log into DonyCo.org. That's D-O-N-E.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see pretty much clouds and heavy rain on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 61, 62 degrees. For tonight, clouds and rain will start to taper off. Low temperatures down to about 51. For Friday and for Saturday, decreasing clouds and more sunshine. High temperatures still in the low 60s. Partly cloudy skies through the overnight. Lows in the upper 40s to low 50s. A chance of rain returning for Sunday, highs around 62.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring. And coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show's Talk Radio to Thrive by Dr. Diane Hayden joining me here today. I love this topic. And let me just say a little bit about who she is. Hi, Benny. Hi, Jamie, to both of you.
Hi, Beth.
It takes a village. When you think about success, you know, some of us think about it as a passing thought. Other people think about not just the elements of it, the major elements, but the nuances of it and the ever-changing dynamic of meaning. If you're Dr. Diane Hayden, you are thinking about successful people, all areas of their lives, like the career, like health, like relationships, like spirituality, and then you discover something. And what you discover is this connecting of dots that allows you to take a look at the whole person in either one place, all places, or one place and all places at the same time. And that is what Dr. Diane has done in creating the Spark Method, the new psychology of success. Because if you heard my last show with David Essel, you heard us say, at the Einstein level, cannot solve the problem at the level it was created. And so it's innovating and it's highly motivating to find Dr. Diane and what she is doing to create a solution that takes us to a different level. Dr. Diane, it's great to have you. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for the great intro. I learned something about myself.
And I could go on, but then, like, you wouldn't be able to talk. Success has been, and I want to start with this conversation if we could. You know, people see me today and have all sorts of ideas about who I am personally and my personality. You know, most people that know me and most of our listeners, they know the multifaceted nature of who I am. You know, I'm an optimist, but I'm also direct. I ask them usual questions because that's just the way they are in my brain. But there's this interesting point that they don't know, and I want to talk to you about it. I grew up mostly with low self-esteem. I really did. I mean, imagine stuttering as a kid. You know, imagine going through your high school years and stuttering. The only thing I really could do well was play the viola because I didn't have to talk about it. like their notes. Like you got an instrument. You got to, like, play it, and you don't have to talk. You can't stutter playing the viola. And then self-confidence. And I know we're going to be talking about Spark Method, but I don't think I'm alone. I think we have areas of low self-esteem and self-confidence, but it doesn't have to be a life sentence, does it?
No. I would totally agree with you. I actually was a kid who had low self-esteem and low self-confidence, too. I was painfully shy. And it's so funny because now people see me, like you said, you know, I've talked in front of 20,000 people and I do things like this and, you know, no problem whatsoever. In fact, I actually love it. And people are like, there is no way that you had low self-confidence. No way. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, it's not a life sentence for sure.
And, you know, and but here we are. And I get asked this question because in the recent years, I've been sharing more and more about my life story, a little bit more about the early years and later on. And I always get the question, you know, from time to time, how did you go from that place to like that can-do attitude? Now, I'm going to ask you that question because every time I got asked that, I don't have like a magic answer. I don't have a method to point to. But as I was getting ready for this show, you do. How did you do it?
Good question. Before I get into that, just one thing I wanted to point out is you were just talking about the commonality of us growing up with low self-esteem, low self-confidence, and then transitioning into kind of like 180 degrees. When I look at the kids that I grew up with, and I look at some of the ones that I thought had like the most self-confidence, you know, like the captain of the football team and the cheerleaders and the girls who want, you know, were prom queen and whatever. There's a lot of them, and maybe this is an anomaly of where I grew up, but I don't think so. A lot of those people now I find have really not done a lot with their life, and it's almost like they have low self-confidence now. And I just find that fascinating. It's like you would think that those would be the people that would have gone on to do like amazing things. I don't know. So it's just interesting. It seems like kind of a flip-flop sort of thing to me. And I don't have an answer as to why. It's just an observation for sure.
Can we just tap into that for a minute? Because I think that's why I love talking with you. I want to tap into it for a minute. And, you know, I want to talk. I don't know why all these things are coming up for me. It's like I'm getting these, like, flashback thingies. But I had a mentor say something to me. One of the most incredible mentors. She passed away really suddenly on a trip that I was actually supposed to be on with her in a car accident. And took me on my first vision quest. And we're sitting, you know, one time in a room, and she said, she looked at me and she said, with this beautiful wavy gray hair, and she said, you know, Pat, you can't take a person to a place you haven't gone yourself. And then she got up and walked away and poured herself a glass of wine, and that was like the end. That was like, okay.
Think about that for a while.
I thought about it for over a decade. And it wasn't until I got sick that I realized, you know, people say, why do you have to keep saying you got sick? That is so not the law of attraction. Okay, give me another word for it. Okay, I came down with a mystery disease in 2004. Okay, so, but it was then that I realized that when you're brought to your knees sometimes, you have a choice. You can go to a place of extreme judgment or a place of extreme non-judgment and compassion. And I want to ask you this question too, is what can we do to help people realize we have that power within? Because I don't really wish coming down with a mystery disease that may kill you as a way to get to that answer. And so working with you, Dr. Diane, is probably a better idea.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I didn't have a mystery disease, but I did have some things that happened to me that, you know, I certainly wouldn't wish on anyone. You know, like my father passed away very quickly when I was, I'll say it's young, I was 27. I had to redo my dissertation because I didn't pass my defense the first time for myriad of strange coincidences. I had jobs that I loved that I had to leave or that just ended. I mean, I broke off an engagement. I mean, there are all these things that kind of happen in your life that as you're going along, you don't really think about them. I mean, you're in it, so you're not thinking like, oh, well, how is this going to shape me? Who am I going to become? What is the impact? You're not thinking about any of that when it's happening to you. But then when you wind up in a place and then you look back, like, oh, how did I get here? Like, where did I get the self-confidence? I feel like it's kind of a lot of those things that happen to you. And yes, absolutely, there are things that you can do. Like, I push myself. You know, part of the things that I teach my clients are, you know, how do you gain self-confidence? You got to constantly push yourself past the fear. You got to put yourself in a position of fear and move past that. You got to do things that challenge yourself. You have to, you know, climb Cathedral Rock in Sedona if you're scared of heights.
I skydive.
There you go.
I don't know that I love what you're talking about, and I want to keep rolling here. As a matter of fact, I think I want to actually skip the break here. For those of you that are just tuning in, Dr. Diane Hayden is joining me here today, and we're talking about the Spark Method. And I want to make sure all of y'all have a lot of information. But first and foremost, Dr. Diane, let's direct people to the best place they can find out about you, find out about Spark Method.
Sure. So my website is www.drdianehayden.com. That's drdianehayden.com. And then I also publish two holistic lifestyle magazines, Natural Nutmeg. And that website is naturalnutmeg.com and Essential Naples in Florida. And it's essentialnaples.com.
Okay. Let's roll. You know, two things I want to say. I've always had a sense of things. I'm not the greatest planner. I'm not Linda, who is a triple Virgo. So I'm never going to have that. I'm going to buy a pool table that doesn't fit in the room. Okay, just saying. I might even buy a motorcycle that's too short to ride. But there's one thing that I do know. I've had so much passion in my heart for something very specific. And yet I haven't always had a plan. The universe has been so much smarter than me. And I want to ask you this question. Passion and purpose sometimes get squinched together. Like they're some kind of person. Like passion, purpose, like it's like person, like you squinch them together. I've never been able to do that. You know, and yet at the same time, these two words are powerfully motivating. Can you talk about what you discovered about them, especially in the context of success, but more importantly, how you work with people to ignite that, wait for it, spark.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, I think they're essential to success. You can't, you know, when I look at entrepreneurs who started a business because they were, you know, excited about something and wanted to create something, I mean, that's the passion. Like you'll never make it if you're not passionate about it and if you don't have a why. I mean, that's my belief. Like, it's just, you know, there's so many things that you have to overcome in starting a business or really in starting anything. Let's even talk about relationships, you know, like you have to realize that there's going to be obstacles. Things aren't going to go the way you expect them to go. You're going to have really bad days, weeks, months, year. And you have to keep coming back to, why am I doing this? Why am I in this? And that has to be really strong for people, I think. That's what I find. Like, when I am coaching people, a lot of times it's, they don't know what their why is. especially the people that are in a relationship they're not happy with, in a career they're not, or a job they're not happy with, there's no why. Like, why do you want to jump out of bed every day? And most of the time they're like, well, I don't really want to get out of bed.
Yeah. That's telling in itself, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's telling in itself. I love that question. And can we explore it for a little bit more here? When I first heard that question, Dr. Diane, when I first heard the question, what's your why? It really started to work on me a little bit. And I made my commitment to ask myself that question every day now. And it's also followed by my meditation where I ask my higher power, God, universe, whatever you believe in, what's mine to do today? And I get an answer. Some days it's a gigantic vision that I don't really understand. Other days, do the dishes, Pat. They don't belong in the sink. But when we get a sense of our why, something gets ignited. And I want to ask, because I've gotten a sense of my why in my life at different points in time, and I've not always known what to do next. But this is what you do to help people connect the why, the what, and then the how, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same with me. I mean, many times in my life, I'm like, I think I know what I want to do, but how am I going to create that? Like, where, one step at a time, right? I mean, I think what's interesting to me is you don't have to know what the next step is. Like, I honestly can't say I'm 100% comfortable with that still, but I'm learning to get there. Like, you know, it's okay to not have everything planned out, because when you have everything planned out, one, it never works the way you think it's going to work anyway. You know, I believe, like you just said, the universe has way bigger ideas for us than we could probably even come up with. I never knew, you know, if you told me 20 years ago that I'd be publishing 3 magazines, I would be like, what, are you crazy? Like, I don't know anything about publishing a magazine. And yet there it is, right? Like, the opportunity fell in my lap and I took it and ran with it. So you're not going to always know what the next step is. But if you can keep coming back to what do I love to do? Like, my show this morning was about passion and purpose. I did the whole show about that. Yeah. And essentially it was, I teach people to go on a passion quest, to take as much time as they want. I mean, I still have the journal where I write things down. It's kind of an ongoing process for me, but take a weekend, take a month, take a year even, and just write down everything that you are passionate about doing. What is it that you would do every day if you didn't get paid, if you didn't have to worry about money? And then look at what the commonalities are and figure out, like, can you draw a thread? Like, my purpose and things I'm passionate about are teaching, educating, speaking, travel. And I look at, oh, okay, now I've actually combined all of those things into what I do now for these magazines. I didn't know that 15 years ago that was going to happen.
Yeah. See, I love that. And really what it points to for me is, you know, I grew up with a stepmom that had her first child at 12 and her second one at 13. And this was a woman, when she married my dad, she was like not much older than my sister. And my dad, of course, was like 25 years older. But I learned so much from her young year wisdom, right? And she would say things that would literally make you think 30 years later it would hit you. But there's this thing we run into, and I found this in when the movie The Secret came out, and then some other people were getting disappointed by feeling they don't have a special purpose. Now, my mom, you could talk to my stepmom, and my stepmom would talk about special purposes that had to do with cooking chitlins. And this has been a dilemma for people, confusing and conflicting. What have you found?
Oh, I totally agree. First of all, I don't think that a purpose has to be this grandiose thing. Like my mother is a perfect example. She's 87. Her life has basically been about taking care of people. My dad was a type 1 diabetic. She took care of him. Her father died when she was 23, so she basically took care of my grandmother. Like, my grandmother lived with us, and that was, you know, my mom's sole purpose was taking care of my father, my grandmother, and me. That was our family unit, just the four of us. And then my grandmother went into a nursing home after my father died, and so, you know, every day she would go visit her. She would talk to, you know, sit with other people in the nursing home. My mom had a very simple life, and yet she's content. Like, she doesn't feel like she was supposed to come here for some big, huge thing. I'm completely the opposite. I feel like I'm supposed to come here for some big, huge thing. She's like, no, my life is about taking care of people. So I never want someone to be discouraged. Don't compare yourself. You know, don't feel like you have to have this huge purpose. That may not be the point of this lifetime if you believe in multiple lifetimes.
And you know what I love about that is when you can really approach things from this, you know, I wish I could say like, yeah, like everybody's like super objective, but if you can approach things from what touches your heart and makes you smile. And when I think about that, growing up didn't smile a lot. I mean, if you see any of the pictures of me, like when I was a teenager and in my 20s, you'd be like, what the heck is going on with that girl? But there are things that made my heart smile. I don't know how else to say it, right? Even if I didn't smile on the outside, there are. This is really at the core, isn't it, of sparking inspiration, sparking motivation, right? And finding what that is. For some people, petting a puppy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, riding a horse. Others, it's helping somebody across the street. I have a friend that he stares at $100 bills an hour a day because he's got a big inspirational, motivational law of attraction. I'm going to make the money. And, you know, I learned a couple of things from him. I don't have an hour a day to do that, but I've got to find it. Yeah. But let's talk about this for a minute because purpose, passion by themselves is an energy. And we're going to be talking about this later on in the show. By themselves, they can sit, and they can sit for a long time. But I don't know that people that have a passion or a purpose, even my mom with the Friday chitlin things that she actually told us were fried clams, they weren't. So therefore, I ate meat on Friday, and I had to do a lot of penance on that. But here we are. People want to do something with their thing. They want to do something with their purpose and passion. Have you found that? And what do we do to help people that probably think, I've lost it. It's gone, Dr. Diane. It's gone.
I think actually that's a great place to be.
Oh, boy. I've been there.
Yeah, right? Like, to me, that's like a clean slate. You know, if you feel like everything in your life you're not passionate about anymore, wow, something big is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my intuition, my mindset, that kind of thing. I think you can create anything. You just have to give yourself the space and time to figure out what is it I'm passionate about. Because I think people who feel like or have found themselves in a place where they're just not passionate about their job anymore, or their relationship or whatever it is, or maybe they're having a health issue, you didn't get there overnight. There were signs, there were red flags, there was whatever going on that you kind of just like, brush it off. I'm too busy, can't think about it. What, I got to keep doing what I'm doing just to get by. And one day you wake up and you're like, yeah, I don't want to do this, any of this anymore.
Yeah.
So you got to give yourself the time to figure out, you know, you're passionate about something. So my belief, this is funny real quick. The whole reason I did my show on purpose and passion today was, my next door neighbor's writing a book, and he's like, oh, I got some questions for you. And one of his questions was, do you believe that everybody came here with a purpose, that everybody comes here with a purpose? I'm like, yes, but I don't believe that everybody knows what it is or even thinks about it. So we all have it. I believe we all have it.
Yep.
I think we can lose it. I think most of us probably do lose it, you know, from time to time throughout our lives.
Yep.
And there, you can get it back. But yep. you got to give yourself the space to do that. Maybe that's even going on a silent retreat, yep. which I've done, just to, you know, quiet everything so you can listen. You know, what is my soul really calling me to do?
I love that you share that. For me, I was never going to give myself the time to do that. The universe was so much smarter than me. It knew for me at a very young age, and I've talked about this a lot. I mean, I turned to Linda when I was in my, like, 21-ish or something, and I said to her, we're walking down the halls of Bell Labs, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to get a PhD. And Linda looks at me, and she says, oh, absolutely. And I said, what exactly is that? See, I didn't want a PhD to become, like, Dr. Pat. All the PhD people I delivered mail to were the happiest people I had ever met. All of these, Arnold Penzias, the Big Gut Bang guy, all these people, they were happy. I would go deliver their mail. I couldn't even get to their mailbox. There was papers everywhere. They were sitting in a room juggling. They were talking to frogs. They were happy. Never, ever did I enter a room with any of these engineers where they didn't have something nice to say. They want to tell you a joke. I almost went in the mail room because I spent too much time with them. Did I do it right away? No. Did I ever lose that? No. But I love that you talked about this because I went so far into corporate success and moving up the corporate ladder, starting in the mailroom, becoming a corporate executive, until one day I looked in the mirror and I was unrecognizable. And the universe was so smart, even after 24 and a half years, it gave me a level of truth about myself. I didn't have the courage to leave. I had to cause a revolution, so I actually got terminated early. See, I love those things when they happen. I look back now because I think I'd still be there.
Probably.
I think I'd still be there. Like, I don't know what I'd be. The phone company's not the phone company anymore. But how do we pay attention? I want to talk to you about this when we come back from break. Sometimes we can have the awareness and the wisdom and we can get in that silent place. I do that more often now than not because I don't want to go through any more pain like that. I don't. But when we come back, I want to talk about my favorite thing, action. I love it. When they play the trailers on the movies, right, and they go through, this is the comedy, this is the horror film, I wait for the action trailers. What is the formula for passion, purpose, action to equal success? Dr. Diane Hayden in the house. We're going to take a short break, everybody. Think about that question. And she's actually going to tell us when we come back. We'll be right back.
You may think I may thought we were sleeping back to back.
Can't get enough of Vibe Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off-limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Spark Method, the new psychology of success with Dr. Diane Hayden. And we are talking about, you know, I love what we're talking about because this has been, for me, the conversation about success and passion and purpose. You know, I was very fortunate to grow up with a mom that believed in unlimited possibilities, that believed in everybody had the potential to be president if they wanted or whatever. And I was telling Dr. Diane that this is a woman that had her first child at 12 and second one at 13. And, you know, today we're talking about purpose, passion, and now we're going to talk about action. And we're going to talk about an end game. I call it an end game, and you'll hear what it is as we talk about it. Before we do, one, how do people find out about you? How do they listen to your show? All of the above. How do they find out about the Spark Method?
Sure. Well, people can find me at my website, www.drdianehayden.com. And my show is every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And I have two holistic lifestyle magazines, www.naturalnutmeg.com and essentialnaples.com.
So I was interviewed once. I've been interviewed a bunch of times, but I remember this one time. And I think I was by my buddy Steve Maraboli. I can't remember. And we were talking about passion and purpose. And he said, what do you think about that? I said, okay, here's what I think. Passion plus purpose without action is depression. And you could hear a pin drop. And I don't even know what that meant at the time. There's nothing wrong with passion and purpose. But my experience with it is when it lingers, when it becomes haunting and then daunting, it's usually because I haven't done anything about it. What do you think?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I think that's your soul's way of being kind of like, what are you doing? Like, but we want to do this. Let's do it, you know. Yeah, because I think, like, you know you have this purpose. You want to do this, and yet you're not taking steps to do it, whether it's fear or you're too consumed with, you know, you don't know how or what or whatnot. But you get into this place of stagnancy, and then I think maybe you start to beat yourself up a little bit, like feeling, oh, I should be doing this, whatever. And yeah, I totally, totally agree with that statement, 100%.
You know, and then let's talk about action for a minute. There have been points in time where I've worked with people and they've taken action, but they don't think it's enough, right? Or they'll take action and things don't turn out the way they want. And so what do I mean by that is I remember working with somebody who would be action, and had such a layer of resentment about every action she took and wondered why she wasn't manifesting what she wanted. And I didn't really understand it quite the way I understand it today, but I do know resentment is a number one offender. Sometimes we have to take action, and we have to grit and grind our teeth. I had three jobs growing up. I had to pay the rent. I didn't want to be homeless again. I was obsessed with not wanting to be homeless again. I had three jobs even if I didn't need three jobs. I don't now. I have one job that's like three jobs.
Right.
Oh, wait. Pattern. God. But let's talk about action, right? Because we have gone through, over the past decade, teachings on things like the law of attraction and manifestation. And people are still baffled why they don't have the lives they want.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Definitely. Well, so that one took me a long time to figure out. I'm like super high achiever, perfectionist. I'm probably that person that you were just talking about. Like, you know, if they didn't see something manifest overnight, like, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't this working out? I was really, have been really hard on myself. Sometimes still am, but have been really hard on myself about that. And you got to be in something long enough, I think, to be able to look back and say, wow, look where I came from. You know, like when I started the magazine 15 years ago, in the first 3 years, I wasn't anywhere near where I wanted to be revenue-wise, and I almost gave it up. And I had this conversation. Yep, I had this conversation with my my partner in the business, is now my ex-husband and ex-partner. That's a whole other story for another show. But
you'll have to come back.
Right, exactly. But he had a really good friend who was in sales, and his friend was like, you know, big time, making probably like $250,000, $300,000. And he was like, Diane, you know, you've got a PhD, you've got a background in marketing, you've done sales your entire life. Why are you fooling around with this thing? Like, you know, why don't you, I could get you a job in a second making that kind of money. And so I came away from that meeting and I thought to myself, okay, is that what I really want to do? You know, why, again, coming back to my why am I doing this magazine? Why do I have my own business? And I gave myself, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself 3 months. If I don't see an improvement in revenue, something like even just a little notch on the dial, then I'm going to consider, you know, this opportunity with this guy. Well, I honestly cannot tell you that I think I did anything different than what I was doing. But with it, something about that deadline or that like line in the sand or whatever, that the commitment to, okay, I'm going to make this, see if I can make this work one more time. Within 3 months, we had almost doubled our revenue.
Mm.
And when I look back at that now and other times where I've been like ready to just give it up and I pushed through it and then we got to another level. And it's happened so many times. It happens to everybody. Like you think you're not doing anything. You're not doing enough. You're not where you want to be. You know, it's always like, that's one of the things I say is there is no there. Cause when you get there, there's going to be another there for you. Like that's just human nature. We continue to push ourselves, I think.
Yeah.
So you got to be happy with what you have now. You have to find a way to look at what do I have now? Like, what am I grateful for now? Because if you keep moving the goalposts every time, you're never going to be happy. And you're constantly going to be beating yourself up about not doing enough, not taking enough action.
I want to just pinpoint something you said, and I want to talk more with you about it right now. Grateful. Gratitude. People have asked me, and I thought about this for myself, and I love what you just described because, to be honest with you, we are like two peas in a pod in so many ways. I graduated with a PhD, and like you, job offers, I mean, ridiculous stuff. I was depressed over the thought of that. And here I am, I dialed the wrong phone number, and I started to buy airtime, and I started to do this. The show was cross-busting. I never talked about my doctorate. I was so embarrassed about it. Only one in my family graduated high school, so I didn't even understand it was a doctor. And every day in my relationship that I was in, are you earning any money? Are you going to, like, get a real job? Not in those words. You know, sometimes people could say those things in a much nicer way, but they kind of mean the same thing.
Yeah.
it shifted for me when that relationship ended. Now, I can't tell you exactly what shifted, why it shifted, but I never questioned my path. I never said to myself, why am I spending this much money on buying airtime? And I had no idea that you could even get sponsors and advertisers for the first 5 years. But when we're in that spot, when we are in that groove, how do we help ourselves around the naysayers? But even more importantly, how do we apply gratitude across the board to carry us forward?
Yeah, that's a tough one. As far as the naysayers, so you can really get caught up in that. I think I do a very good job about, for the most part, about kind of letting that stuff slide off. But every once in a while, somebody will get to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spin it in a little bit of a different direction.
Please.
For me, it's not about, I haven't really had people in my life say to me things like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, or you're not making enough money. What's happened to me is that people haven't supported me in a different way. And what I mean by that.
I do get it. Go for it.
Yeah. What I mean by that is they, for example, let's say somebody close to me has a chronic health issue, and they continue to go to traditional medical doctors, and they continue to take medication, and they do surgeries. And I'm over here like, just try naturopath. Just try these supplements. Like, just read this article. And I just keep giving and giving and giving information. And then I get to a point where I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, like, this person is just not going to get it. And then I get wrapped up in the thought process of, why don't they respect me? Why don't they respect my knowledge? Why don't they trust me? Why won't they? And I finally have to get to the place where it's not about me. It's about them. I mean, it's not a reflection on me. It has nothing to do with my level of education or how long I've been doing this or the resources I have. It has nothing to do with me. It is about them, and maybe they'll never get there. And that was really hard for me to figure out, understand, and let go of. And I'm still 50 there and just let go of it. Because I want to help so much, you know, and especially when it's somebody close to you.
Yeah.
Like, I see this person struggling and I want to help so much, and they just, it's like, you know, one of my friends actually said to me, these are the words she said to me. She had this issue, and I'm talking to her about a naturopath and blah, blah, blah. She legit said to me, no, I need a real doctor.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that was like a knife in the heart to me. She was like my best friend.
Hi, this is Matt Baker, and today,
have any clue what she said. Like, okay, what does that mean? For 20 years, I've, like, all these people that I work with are fake doctors. So that's the kind of thing that I struggle with and what I would consider naysayers. Like, how do you get over that?
Yeah. And that is such a beautiful example because it shows up in different places, right? And I love that it's not, I love the expression when the light bulb goes on, Dr. Diane, about, you know, that awakening, because that awakening allows us to get to another place. But sometimes it's baffling. And, you know, I just went through something similar where, you know, you believe so much in people's potential. And I think I mentioned this before. I work with a group of women, and out of the gate, I know what's possible because I've lived it and I've done it. I know it for myself. I don't have a magic wand. I don't know what it's going to be like for everybody. But one of the hardest things for me sometimes is when you want to share some steps that you think could make the pathway easier, or when you see potential in people. You know, I worked at the phone company, and it was baffling for me when you saw somebody with incredible potential, and both yourself and maybe your manager tried to give them direction and guidance. And they just like, I'm just going to do my thing. Ended up, Bob Davis actually fired them. But the point is, it's heartbreaking because you see it. people think resistance and resilience are the same thing. They thought, somebody actually said that to me about 3 weeks ago. And I said, what? They said, like, well, Pat, I heard you talk about resilience. Don't you think resistance? I said, no, dude, like, look that up. Like, Google it. And I said, resistance and resilience are strange bedfellows. But show me how resistance will get you to a level of awakening that will get you to what you want in your heart. And let's talk about this for a minute, because I do think resistance and resilience get mixed up. Resilience is a fantastic word, and it's not a cookie cutter, is it?
No.
Let's talk about that, because once we take this daily action, no matter how small the step, I don't know about you, but some days could barely get out of bed, and once I got out of bed, I went to the couch with the remote, right? You know, my friend used to knock on my door and drag me to do vinyl siding sales door to door. So let's talk about how we bring passion, purpose, action, and how that could create this beautiful sense of resilience, but not bulldozer resilience. Maybe yes, maybe not. How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, I love that you made that distinction between resistance and resilience, because to me, they're two completely different things. I mean, to me, resistance is, you know, not being aware, pushing back on something. You may not even be aware why you're doing it, but there's something, whether it's, again, like fear or lack of passion, whatever it might be. You know you should take these steps. You know you need to do something different. I've had a friend who's been in this career for 30 years, and she's hated it for 30 years, and she's an amazing artist. I mean, she could do design for Hallmark, seriously. Like, she could do greeting card design. She could she could be the next Marie Kondo. She's, like, that kind of interior design, artistic eye. And she's doing this, like, you know, project management job that she hates. And she will not move. Like, she's stuck there. That, to me, is resistance. Resilience is when you have things thrown in your path and you keep overcoming them, you keep taking the next step, you keep moving forward. It makes you stronger. You realize, you know, that's going to happen, that it's going to be, you're going to have struggles, and you're going to have to hang on to your passion and purpose to get past those struggles. Those are the two definitions for me of those two words.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I mean, it's been, for me, in the words of Kelly Clarkson, you know, what don't kill you make you stronger. And in a lot of sense, that has been the story of my life. But I will tell you this. I can pinpoint times where the art in resistance showed up, and I learned invaluable lessons from it early on in life. And I got to tell you, when I learned them, they stuck. And they were pivotal. I mean, Dr. Diane, there are things and mentors that come along, and they may seem like the meanest sons of you-know-what from the universe. Dan Vandermas, my supervisor in my payroll job as a clerk, the dude sat 5 feet behind me as the boss in a pool of 50 people. He's behind me. I'm over here. He gets up, walks to my desk and says, can you please pull the rate card on Mary Jo? Let me just say that. And I looked at him. Okay, you got up. I'm here. The rate cards are like 8 feet away. Okay, like big stacks of rate cards before there were computers. And I was looking up, so I did. I got up and I got Mary Jo's card and I brought it back and I put it on his desk. And he like did what it is. He gets up from his desk and he brings the card and puts it on my desk. File Mary Jo. And I said, this was me now in a room of 50 people. You could hear a pin drop after this. Okay, so like I was like 17 or 18. And I said, are you effing kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're here. You get up. You walk around here. I said, I left the file drawer open for you to drag me in a room, in a closet, pretty much. Back in the day, nobody cared. And what he said to me was such a pivotal moment in my life. That was resistance. That was an element of resistance. And the lesson I learned was, this is a job, Pat. He is like your boss. You have just embarrassed your boss in front of 50 other people. And you are like a clerk at about $100 a week. And I learned the action he took by taking me into this room. Everybody in the room was wondering if I would actually come out and go back to my desk or come out and pack up and go. But he said something interesting to me. And what he said was, first of all, if you do that again, you have no career. And then he said, don't throw away a lifetime of potential because you think you're too arrogant or above following your boss's direction. So if you're willing to throw away a lifetime of potential, go back to your desk and pack up and leave. If you want to stay here and allow me to mentor you and help you get over your lousy disposition, I'm more than willing to meet you halfway. Now, look, that changed my life. And believe me, that wasn't the last time that I reacted that way. But you see, it built resilience in a way for my personality to be able to accept feedback that to this day I would not be able to own this network and accept all y'all's feedback, every guest, every listener. I would. That one incident at 17, maybe I was 17, maybe I just turned that one deal by Dan Vandermas. How can you help people listening today understand the value of the way lessons come to us, even as hard as they sound, that help us build resilience and have the core of them, the kindness of this man to even give me that chance?
Yeah, I've had experiences like that. That's so funny. I think the people that you that rub you the wrong way the most, whether it's work or even in a relationship, are the people that teach you the most. And once you figure that out, again, it's not going to be easy, but I think if you figure that out and you can just stay in the present with that and keep that in the back of your head, it's a lot easier. But, boy, is it tough. Like, when you're going through that, absolutely. I mean, one of my most favorite jobs I had, there was a VP that was, oh, God, he did way worse things than what you just described.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, literally screaming at you, you know, down the hall and all this stuff. But I learned, you're right, like, I learned so much from that position that put me in the place where I could even start my own business and run it for 15 years.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. Sometimes I think, you know, I don't even know how I could teach that. I mean, I honestly think the universe puts you in positions like that, and you have to realize that you're in them for a reason and take advantage of it. And what I mean by take advantage of it is understand what the lesson is and not, you know, lose your mind and walk out of there and throw away a lifetime of, you know, potential. Right.
And you're right about it. And, you know, like you and I are going to continue to talk, but, you know, these are the lessons that literally build success. You know, we may not see them in the future. And by the way, what Dan said to me is you have a choice. You can walk out of this room and you can kind of blab this to everybody what we just talked about, or you can keep your mouth shut. I suggest you keep your mouth shut. And he looked at him like, you know, sometimes when you see the fire in the eye, I didn't know if I wanted to cry. I didn't know what it was, but I never said a word to anybody. I knew intuitively that this man really wanted to mentor me. And I think that's what you're doing, Dr. Diane. I mean, these conversations, your teachings, your show, they have a purpose. There's a passion behind it. You know, you too see the potential. You too have solutions for people. And that's really why we're here. That's what we do, what we do. I think you can take a horse to water and make them drink, but it's a horrific process. Dr. Diane, thank you for today. How do we find out about you, and what's your personal message? What would you love to leave us with?
Sure. Well, you can find me at www.drdianehayden.com, where you can sign up for my Spark Method and learn more about me. My personal message, I think when I think about why I put the Spark Method together, you know, like how I even came up with it, it was because I saw this commonality, like this whole, you know, every time I looked at who I thought was really successful in all areas of their life, I kept coming up with these, you know, these characteristics. And, you know, it's a work in progress. I don't have it all mastered. I think it's a lifetime to master all of it. But if we can look at each of them, self-confidence, passion, action, resilience, kindness, focus on them, maybe one each day. What can I do? One thing that I can do in one of these areas today or this week or whatever it is. Then you keep making these tiny steps. And before you know it, you look back and you've got, you know, you accomplished something. You've got, you know, 15 years of a magazine, publishing a magazine, or, you know, having Transformation Talk Radio. It's like, you know, we didn't just, it just didn't happen overnight. It's like the little steps that you take every single day. And that's a lot of what I teach people. And that's not glamorous, but it's the truth. And I think it's, you know, taking those steps and then being able to be kind to yourself when you need to and realize, you know, oh, wow, take the time to see what have I accomplished in the last 5, 10, 15 years, whatever it is. Recognize that.
Thank you so much for this. And, you know, I really love what you're doing. I love that you and I can talk about being a work in progress. And I'm reflecting upon Dan Vandermas. The thing that I'm struck by, some of the kindest acts towards me have been some of the harshest streams of feedback. But when I listen to them, boy, the beauty and the benefit of seeing a potential for yourself, even if it's a glimpse, and that's what you're doing, helping people see the glimpse of what's possible in their lives. Thank you, Dr. Diane Hayden, for everything you do. Thank you.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Thursday, Eric Ryder here with you on KKNW. We are approaching noon. Time for a quick look at our traffic. Southbound I-5 North gave way to the 5. The interchange is slow at this hour. I-5 northbound, heavy traffic in the Everett area approaching US 2 to about 26th Street Northeast. 405 southbound in Kirkland around Northeast 116th is slow and scattered delays northbound from Sunset on up to about Southeast 64th. Rainy afternoon here in the Puget Sound. Temperatures right around 59 degrees.
This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. A bill extending government funding to December 3rd is headed to the House after passage by the Senate. The vote was 65 to 35. The Senate vote was made possible when Democrats and Republicans struck a deal overnight. Republicans agreed to the deal when Democrats stripped an extension of the federal debt limit from the funding bill. The debt limit will be taken up separately in the Senate after earlier passage by the House. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says $1.5 trillion is his top-line number in President Biden's social spending plan. That's $2 trillion less than what Biden wants to spend. Meanwhile, the fate of the bipartisan infrastructure bill remains uncertain in the House. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she may delay a vote that was scheduled for later today. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito is defending the use of the so-called shadow docket to rule on a controversial Texas abortion law.
Not only is it impractical to hear oral argument on most emergency matters, but the suggestion that we can never rule responsibly without oral argument is simply wrong.
Speaking in Notre Dame, Iowa, he said there's nothing nefarious about the shadow docket. In the case of the Texas abortion law, he says the emergency motion was filed about 36 hours before the law was set to take effect. That would have made it impossible, he says, to hear oral arguments. And he fought back against claims that the emergency motion nullified Roe v. Wade. A new cell phone purchased by Brian Laundrie is part of the investigation into the Gabby Petito disappearance and homicide. The family attorney said Laundrie purchased the phone on September 4th after he returned home to Florida from his cross-country trip without his fiancée. The attorney says Laundrie left the phone at home when he went for a hike in a nearby nature preserve 10 days later, which is when his parents claimed they last saw him. There are reports that tens of thousands of Haitian migrants are making their way through Mexico toward the U.S. border, where they plan to seek asylum. Officials say they're gearing up to meet them. Reports have the caravans headed to Texas, Arizona, or California. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Save on dinner at Whole Foods Market. Get animal welfare certified beef short rib or flanken for $6.99 a pound through October 5th while supplies last. Plus, Prime members get an extra 10% off. See more on the Whole Foods Market app.
Central Florida's largest hospital system is reporting encouraging numbers regarding COVID-19. Alan Spector reports.
Advent Health continues to operate under normal conditions, known as green status, at its hospitals across Orange, Seminole, Osceola, Polk, Lake, Volusia, and Flagler counties. The number of COVID-19 patients hospitalized dropped this week to about 530, and the rate of positive COVID tests at CentraCare, Advent Health's urgent care clinics, dipped below 10% this week for the first time since the spring.
Facebook Messenger is unveiling a new feature allowing for cross-app group chats. Facebook introduced cross-app messaging between Messenger and Instagram last year, but now users will be able to start group chats with both Instagram and Messenger contacts. And as Instagram adopts more video content, users will now be able to use Messenger's existing Watch Together feature to view Instagram posts like Reels and IGTV videos at the same time. If you've been craving a McRib from McDonald's, you'll only have to wait a little bit longer. The fast food chain announced this iconic barbecue sandwich will return to participating restaurants nationwide November 1st. The company statement said the hype around its annual return has given birth to the phrase McRib season. The sandwich will only be available for a limited time. Disney World's Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel will start welcoming all Jedis next year. Disney announced Thursday the hotel will open for general bookings beginning October 28th and will officially open to guests on March 1st of next year. The company describes Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser as a first-of-its-kind vacation experience, allowing you to be the hero of your own Star Wars story. During the two-night adventure, Disney says you'll travel the galaxy in style aboard the Halcyon Star Cruiser and eventually make your way to the Outer Rim for a planet-side excursion to Batuu. Disney Vacation Club members, pass holders, and Disney Visa card members will be able to book early. The dates have not been announced yet. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
You don't need to wait until New Year's to make important changes to your diet. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. If you're trying to eat healthier, science shows you're more likely to stick to it if you make small improvements and continue stacking better behaviors rather than making sweeping changes all at once. A recent study published in the journal The American Heart Association found eating a steady diet of traditional southern foods can...